Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
I want us to look this morning in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Luke, chapter 2. We're going to jump into a part of the historical account of the birth and the coming and the announcement of the Savior, Jesus, the Christ. And we're going to look in Luke chapter 2. We'll start probably around verse 8. But before we do, I'd like you to say this with me. Say, good news.
Good news.
Great joy.
Great joy.
Goodwill.
Goodwill.
Good news.
Good news.
Great joy. What's the last one?
Goodwill.
See? You're good. Now, you know why I had you say that twice? Because there's men in the room. Now, I didn't have you say that just so you'd forget it right away. Okay? You're going to see those words come out of this passage of Scripture, and it's where I want us to focus some of our attention this morning. Good news, great joy. Goodwill. Depending on the version that you're reading of the Scripture, it might vary a little, but the meaning is the same, and there might be a couple of words that are different, but we'll look at this. Verse 8, in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you, born this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ, the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men for those who the Lord is pleased." Depending on your version, it'll read real close to that. Good news, great joy, goodwill. We're going to work our way to this understanding of goodwill, that the Lord has a will that is to do good. We're going to work our way to that, but I just want to stop here and maybe just a little side note. You know, it's interesting, as the shepherds were out watching their flocks and they have this manifestation, their eyes are opened, and this heavenly host among them making an announcement in the presence and the glory of the Lord, and they had fear. I recall times in my life where I just really sensed the presence of the Lord very strongly. It wasn't something I anticipated. It was something I was either by myself, or I was in a service like this morning, or a service that was very revivalistic and His presence was strong and maybe unique according to the need of people that morning or evening service. And I remember, you know, now, I want the presence of the Lord to be strong, but I remember times where the presence of the Lord was strong, and you're having this experience and this awareness of Him, that there was a little bit of fear that struck me initially. And I think part of that fear is not just that it's not familiar or it's unknown. It's that in that moment of God's glory or His presence, there's also an awareness of who we are. who I am. I remember being in services where people were moving very prophetically with words of knowledge that come from the Lord, and they were instructing people and doing things. I remember, you know, oh God, please don't tell them anything about me. I'm serious. There were times that the presence of the Lord was so strong in a service that, Lord, please, you know, I'm sinful. I'm sorry. I want to correct whatever's wrong, but just talk to me first, please. Don't tell them. You know, that holy reverence and fear, you know, I was struck with it. And there's a little bit of fear that goes with that. But it's amazing that as they have this experience and they're aware of themselves and aware of the presence and the glory of the Lord, that this fear quickly washes away because they discover that there's good news. I remember at times where the moment of when I came to faith in Christ and other moments where there was a renewal of that promise and commitment to Him where I felt very convicted. And the fear washes away because He begins to reveal good news, that there is forgiveness, that there's hope, that where we feel stuck, where we cannot do something on our own strength, and then someone rescues us. And the Lord rescues me. And I cannot pay for my sins. My pockets are not deep enough to pay for my sin. I can't shed my blood even for my own sin and find forgiveness because my blood is not pure. It is tainted. I come from, sinful people, and I myself am a sinner. And, you know, but the good news is that there's forgiveness for me. There's hope for me. Someone came to rescue me. That's good news. It's interesting to me, we live in a day and age where we can, by the minute, we can get notifications of news from around the world. You know, international news, national news, local news, just notifications of what's going on in someone else's life who is in our friends group or circle or what do you call that? Because I'm not on social network, really. Is it sure? Brock gave me the same answer in first service. Yeah, just go on. People know what you mean. And we can get all this information, news. And you'd think the more news that we get, that there would be a chance that maybe we would get more good news. But it doesn't seem to be the case. Good news. Think about this. When is the last time those two words came out of your mouth? Hey, that's good news. And when those words come out of your mouth, what is your expression? Here, the good news is that, you know, we had a problem. The fear that we can't save ourselves. Good news is there's someone that came to save us. Someone came to heal us. Someone came to deliver us. Someone has come a long way and it cost them everything because they just simply loved me. Loved you. Cared about you. Regardless of how others have treated you or fell short of what you felt you needed in the way of love, there is one who has come. And it is good news because it gives you and I hope. So, you know, show me, what does great joy look like? Are you acquainted with any of those people that they're mad face, they're bored face, their happy face, it all looks the same. You know anybody like that? Good news, great joy. Imagine them being one of the shepherds. Fear, great joy, shock, awe, it's all the same. Listen, as one who has been redeemed, I'm not saying we got to have this perma-smile and act ridiculous. But there has got to be a joy that comes from our life because of good news. What good news has come to you that should cause you to have great joy? I mean, this morning, as I mentioned, my wife was making coffee and it's her birthday, and I came out and did the happy birthday dance for her. And I'm not going to do it here, and that's a poor example of, it was just something we shared together. And her dog, he was out there in the living room. Great joy. Hey, it's your birthday. I mean, it's not even comparable to the coming of the Christ and great joy. Turn to the person next to you and say, you still look like you need joy. Of all the people in the world that should have joy, hope, and excitement of hope, it should be those who follow Jesus Christ. Don't say amen to me. Show me. And not just right now. How we continue to live life together. Great joy. Great joy. I hear comments from people who visit this church from time to time, or they've come again, and all of a sudden they say, this is my home church. How do I become a member? And we sit and we talk and all of this, and they just talk about, people here are friendly, and people smile, and I don't know, it's fun to be here. They almost feel bad saying it, like you can't say fun in church. That's not holy. Listen, the good news that transforms our life here, not just our destination for eternity. That Christ's blood has made a difference for you and I. The coming, the announcement that, hey, shepherds, you're going to find him. He's the Christ. He's the Messiah. He's the one that people have been looking for the ages. He's here. Woohoo. Good news, great joy. You want to follow a crabby person around? Please don't start looking at each other in this room. I know that some of us don't want joyful people around us at certain moments because we just want to be ornery, sad, crabby, and complaining and negative just for a moment. And can I not have my party? And then, you can come out later. You see, the good news came at a time where things were already troublesome in the political world, even in the religious world. Is this good news drops in at a wonderful moment in history? You see, isn't that just like the Lord, who looks upon us with compassion and sees that you need good news? You need good news. And I want to give you good news. And I want you to know great joy. And that great joy has everything to do with me. I'm talking about from God's perspective here. He wants to give us good news. And he wants us to have great joy, that we understand that great joy is about him and comes from him, and that you matter. You see, he says, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Do you know that this goodwill is the will of God to do good to you? His will is to do good for you and to you. Now listen, that doesn't mean it doesn't come without adversity. You know, there are things that I wanted to do and did to my children and for my children because the outcome would be good and they would have a good life and they would know the Lord and they would live an acceptable life before the Lord and they would know how to repent before the Lord. All of these things. And there was a little adversity along the way to produce that which is good. His will to do good for you and I doesn't always have to do with adversity for us, but there are times that it does. So don't look at the adversity as if God is mistreating me, he doesn't care about me, he doesn't like me. All of these things that we start to think about. And we just start to set up these, pitfalls by our human thinking and traps of the enemy of your soul and mine. I want you to know that the nature of God is to do good, his will to do good. He brings good news, he wants us to have great joy, and his will is to do good to you and I. Oh no, I'm not very good, I'm not really righteous, and my life's been tough. I just don't know if I can believe that. By all means, continue in your human thinking, but it will not make you holy and it will not bring you closer to him because you're believing wrongly. Yeah, but things are hard here and it's tough and I believe in the Lord and I talk to Jesus and I read the scripture and life is still hard and it's got conflict and it's got difficulty. Listen, as we look at this passage of good news, great joy, it says peace on earth to those he is pleased with. It is his goodwill to do so. Understand that peace on earth, growing up, in our culture, we start to think in terms like this, that peace is the absence of conflict. Absence of hardship, absence of toil, absence of sorrow. It's those when those things aren't present in our life, we think that's peace. I want you to know that that's true. That is peace, but that's heaven. We are here on earth, and Jesus says in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, he says, "Peace I leave with you, peace I give to you, not like the world gives." See, this announcement of good news and great joy is about God showing who he's pleased with, and the proof of that he's pleased with them is that they have peace, and it is his will to do that goodness for all people if he's pleased with them. Now follow this, track this. Peace is not the absence of conflict. It's about the presence of peace in the middle of conflict, hardship, disappointment, hurt, pain, loss. The list goes on. It's about that foundation of peace that can be within us in the middle of trouble. You see that we interpret every circumstance, situation, things that happen to us in this life from the foundation of that of good news and great joy that he is in my life and there's peace in the middle of difficulty. It's why we find scriptures like a peace that passes understanding. Well, what does that mean? It means that a person in a circumstance and situation, if we look at it, there's no way they should have peace. It doesn't make sense. But with Christ, is our hope, is our salvation, the good news, the great joy that you and I can encounter these difficulties and have peace within us, a peace that doesn't make sense to worldly thinking. His presence makes the difference. You see, the proof of His will to do good for you and I is the bringing of this good news that should bring us great joy and establish peace in us are those who please Him. Well, it begs this question. If I want peace, what do I have to do so that God's pleased with me so I get this peace? Well, it's a good question. It's a little misleading because we think, well, if it's just about what pleases Him and that's what gets me this peace that proves His goodwill and backs up the good news that I can have great joy in this, well, how do I please Him? And right away, you and I jump to this. To please somebody, we got to do stuff for them. Works. And I want you to know that there's an element of that that's true, but when it comes to this spiritual understanding of what the Scripture teaches, it's not about doing more of this and giving more of that and being more faithful with this. And those are important things. But if we look to Hebrews, what does it say? It is impossible to please God. Remember the question. If I want this peace, He only gives it to those who He is pleased with. How do I please Him? Hebrews says it is impossible to please God without... Say it. Okay, five of you know this verse. It is impossible to please God without faith. Oh. So the good news is for everybody. But the only ones who get great joy from it is the point that they have faith in Him. See, good news is not good news to us until we believe it. Right? Good news of great joy. Woohoo! That woohoo is like a Gentile version of hallelujah. Okay? How do we please Him? By faith. That I believe. It is impossible to please God without faith. If I have faith in Him, it pleases Him. And now the reciprocation is the establishment in my heart, your life, of this foundation of peace. Not the absence of bad things and hard things. It's the presence of peace in this life. And everything that comes at us, we now filter through this filter, this foundation of good news, great joy, the will of God to do good to me in my life. It brings me peace. Brings me a resource that's not my own. You see, good news is supposed to bring great joy that is evident because it is God's will to do good, and the proof is that when we have faith in His will to do good, it brings about a peace in our life no matter what we face. I mean, is that good news or what? I don't know what worry or anxiety or whatever, you know, has gotten a hold of you or I. Well, I know if it happens to me, but I don't know what it does to you that it robs you of great joy because you and I ignore the good news of God's will to do good to us. It's not without adversity sometimes, but it's His presence. I mean, He is the Prince of Peace. And His presence brings peace to us no matter what's going on around us. I mean, think about this in the context of a child. You know, as a child, I got to be honest with you, I was never afraid to go anywhere with my dad. Was never afraid to go anywhere with my dad. Because in my eyes, my dad could beat up everybody. Didn't matter if they were bigger. He was tougher and he had pride and he wasn't going to quit and he's going to keep getting back up. I mean, he was a tough son of a gun. Is that okay to say in church? I mean, I was never afraid to go anywhere with my dad. Never. If Jesus, the Prince of Peace, lives within us, because he comes into our life at salvation, die to me, live unto Christ, he lives in us. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Then why do I feel the need I have to take over? Because when I take over, then I feel like the best thing's going to happen, and that's my best shot at maybe having peace. I want you to know that is not your best shot at having peace. It's about having faith that pleases him, and that faith is followed up with participation and works. Okay? The works prove the kind of faith we have. I mean, if we say one thing and do another, it's inconsistent. But if what we do backs up what we believe, there's a consistency and a sincerity about what we believe because we have backed it up with who we are, how we conduct ourselves. And that kind of faith brings pleasure to God, and he gives to those who please him peace. It is his will to do that good thing. And it's supposed to bring us great joy, because where else can you get that? See, that's the good news. It is in the coming of the Christ. It's about eternity. It's about salvation. But it is also about him in our life this side of heaven. See, that's the reality of Christmas. It's not just an event that took place and we go, oh, hallowed is the historic event. It's about the living Christ who lives in us to do this. And good news came, and great joy is supposed to follow. And an understanding of the will of God to do good to us who please him, who have faith in him. You see, Romans chapter 14, verse 17 says this. The kingdom of heaven is about this. Now, catch this. It starts out, the kingdom of heaven is not about food and drink. In other words, observing some of these laws. I'm not telling you we can be lawbreakers. It's Paul's writing to a specific group of people and talking to them about this. He said, listen, the kingdom of heaven is not about these things. I'm not telling you that sin is acceptable. But I will tell you that the kingdom of heaven is not about food or drink. It's not about whether you smoke and you don't. Oh, he's not preaching the truth. Oh, Jesus, you know. It's not about what you consider sin and what you don't when it's outside the bounds of Scripture. There's some absolutes here that we all need to abide by. And there's some others who struggle with some things that you don't. And there's some others that struggle, and you struggle with things that maybe some others don't. Yours just isn't as visible to everybody, so you can act holy and get away with it in front of people. Ooh, that was, did you feel that? That was Holy Spirit right there. It says the kingdom of heaven is about this. Righteousness. Peace. Oh, the Christmas story. Peace. Get the third one. Because some of you are going, well, I'm not perfect, but righteousness of Christ is in me. And peace, yep, I'm peaceful. But your face stays the same. Get the third one. And don't think, well, two out of three is good enough. The kingdom of heaven is not about food and drink. It's about righteousness. It's about peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Romans 14, verse 17. The kingdom of heaven is about righteousness, peace, in the presence of all the stuff of life. And that it doesn't rob us of the peace. Because we're believing the good news with joy in the Holy Ghost. Because the Holy Spirit gives revelation. He convicts us. He strengthens us. He bears the character of God in us. He empowers us with gifts that are that we don't have on our own. Holy Spirit is the one who anoints, inspires, the charismata, the breath of God. See, oh, the kingdom of heaven, the King of Kings that was born on the scene of trouble, said, I'm going to bring peace, not in circumstances like the world thinks, a peace to a person to endure and walk through the hectic things, the difficult things of this life. You see, we get it wrong in our thinking. It's just like when he showed up, they were looking for a political leader and someone who's going to, you know, fight for them and get back, you know, all the political rights and everything else. They were so wrong, because the kingdom of heaven, it's so much bigger than that. The scope is greater. The kingdom of heaven, God's view, he sees the important things. It's not the absence of conflict in this world. It's about having peace in the conflict. What good news. What great joy. It's his will to do good unto us, to bring us peace, that to those he is pleased with, who have faith in him, who back up their faith with conduct and actions and attitudes and dying to themselves and following Christ and understand what the kingdom of heaven is about. It's about righteousness through faith in Christ. It is about peace as we deal with everything in this life, and we can have joy in the midst of it that comes from the Holy Ghost.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.